Coming up on this episode of Free Lunch.
Why do you keep asking me what's wrong? Like, nothing's wrong. I'm just taking
trying
a breath.
To breathe,
can I,
woman.
Can I breathe? Stop letting strangers out-support your people.
If anything, because I'm doing the same thing you're doing, I'm getting excited with you because I'm going, oh, at any minute, I'll be hitting a gym.
Because that ain't the only gym in the field.
Like, sometimes a lot of creative geniuses, right, are introverted people, mm-hmm. right? But, like, there's no room for being an introvert when you decide that you want to be a business.
Right. We like to use the term day one. And there's a whole bunch of people that they don't want to support you until day 20. If you wait for the time to be right, the time will never come.
It's Free Lunch Season 3 with a special thanks to our sponsors, Bullseye-LLC.com, Ready, Aim, Bullseye, where safety is our ammo, Gen1LLC.info, Generation 1 Logistics, taking pride in putting our carriers first and helping owner-operators get premium loads, stay organized, and increase profit, and ScarletOakCandleCo.com, the self-care experts.
What's going on, everybody? It's your boy Freestyle Gospel, a.k.a. The Real Free, with another episode of Free Lunch. And today is extra special because I got the big bro, my mentor, one of my mentors in the building today, y'all. Andre Griffith. Give it up for him. What up, what up, what up?
No, man. Stop doing that.
Nah, man. This is the big bro, y'all. This is definitely exciting moment. Very first time me having him on the episode on the podcast. He's definitely been a big energy, a big encouraging force behind the scenes, literally from the first day, literally. For a second, I thought the first day here, and I'm like, yo, even before here, yo, letting me use his studio, man, for the first episode that we had any video for, Andre Griffith, man. So, hey.
What's up, man?
What's up? Thank you for coming through, bro.
Anytime, man. You know, I'm just going to kind of throw it out there and embarrass you out there. I'm a little bit, going to throw a little bit of shade at you because why it take, like, what you want, season 3 now? Like, why it take 3 seasons to get me on?
First off, in my defense, there was basically no season 1 or 2. As soon as we launched the first episode, COVID hit. So all the other seasons was in my bedroom closet. So if you wanted me to invite you to the closet, oh, no. But yes, it has taken a while, much overdue. But you've also been, like, super grinding busy. And super, yes. super yes. busy living the dream of an entrepreneur yourself. Actually, you were still, when we did the first episode, you were still trying to do movies and be employed working for the man.
Yeah. I had the golden handcuffs, man, and I do mean the golden handcuffs.
Well, yes. Before we get too far out of ourselves into that, for all the people that don't know who Andre Griffith is, introduce yourself to the people really quick. Let them know you are, what you do.
All right. So I am. Do I throw the adjectives in front of them?
Yeah. Like, okay. I mean, as many as you feel.
All right. So I can remember. I'm an award-winning film director, cinematographer, 6-time Stellar Award nominee. Used to run a radio station before I turned into a filmmaker. Husband, father, the top two on the list. That's kind of what I do. And I assist people in getting started with stuff in their careers.
I love that. I assist people in getting started with stuff. Hence, I am him. Okay. Now, these golden cuffs, I don't know if everybody would prefer to their predicament as golden cuffs. But you have a unique scenario.
So when you say golden handcuffs, right? Yeah. You're not talking about, you know, oh, well, I just got through doing my shift at, you know, McDonald's or, you know. Like, oh, just another day at the office. Or, we're not talking that. We're talking about, like, the place that you would just, anybody else. They would die to have your job.
Yes.
Like, excellent pay, and I do mean excellent pay.
Phenomenal.
Excellent benefits. Like, when I tell you I was paying $35 a week for, like, full health benefits for a family of 5.
Yeah, you know, like what the rest of us pay, like $250 a week.
I was only paying $35 a week and getting a monster paycheck. They were
lovely,
helping me pay for my house. And on top of that, I was networking with celebrities and upcoming celebrities, like just daily. On an everyday basis.
On a daily.
When I tell you this was the golden handcuffs, like people would slap me for leaving my job.
Such gold. Such gold. I had one of those golden cuffs before back in the
day. Yeah, you did. Six figures.
Yeah, man. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful nightmare. I mean, what is the... What becomes... I know yesterday I had somebody in the studio and we were talking about like time frames for... Someone in a marriage who, like, let's say there's one spouse who's not an entrepreneur and the other one who was. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the spouse who is working the 9-to-5 is kind of having an issue with the entrepreneur spouse because they're kind of struggling to kind of get things moving.
Right.
And so we were like, what's a good time frame for someone to give their entrepreneur endeavor a good, fair shot before, you know, throwing their hands up or before saying, you know what, I need to go back to my day job or I need to stay at my day job.
So the adage is, it's never a good time. If you wait for the time to be right, the time will never come. There's always going to be a bill. There's always going to be some sort of catastrophe, disaster that's always going to come. And I was thinking about this today. And I said, entrepreneurs have to have the biggest portion of faith than anybody else because they're literally going into a situation where nothing is guaranteed. So personally for me, I allowed my wife to establish her photography business before I even thought about quitting. And we were like, kind of going over the yearly numbers and everything like that. And that number almost hit six figures. And I said, oh, okay. So I guess I can make the move now. But I still didn't for like another year because I was one of those people. I was like, okay, so like I had golden handcuffs. Like I don't want to lose what I have.
It's so cushiony. It's so safe.
Right. Like this is like one of those things where it's a detriment to your purpose because you're doing a job and there's always a difference between a job and a career. And I did have a career. I've been in IT for 20 years. That is a career. For this particular job, I was not just in IT, but I was also like head of technical for an entire theater system.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, and we're talking five theaters.
Yeah.
So for me, it was like, it's either now or never. The plan was save up 10 grand. 10 grand can get us at least to our first 2-3 months. Mm-hmm. Right. We hit that number and I was like, okay, we're going to pull the trigger and then something happened.
And now your 10 grand saved up is gone back to zero.
Gone. Done. Like the savings were depleted because of something that just, we didn't see it.
Yeah.
No one could see it. This wasn't one of those, you were reckless with your money. No, we saved up 10 grand. We weren't reckless with our money. We were very smart with our money. But that 10 grand ended up having to take care of something else. And so with that notion, I walked in, like this is just after like the world just started to kickstart itself back into motion. After the pandemic, and I was going to walk into my boss's desk and kick my feet up on the desk and be like, yo, I'm out this piece. But she ended up getting COVID. so we ended up...
Batter up.
You're right. So I ended up resigning over Zoom, over a Zoom call.
Does that...
Yeah.
The... the side note is that doesn't sound as it's not as bad as it nearly as it sounds.
No,
because everything was on Zoom at this point. Okay,
right. But we were at the point where we were still able to have like in person meetings.
Okay,
if we had to, you know, the proper 6 feet, and all that good stuff. Right. So it was there. But like all the wind was taken out of my sail when this happened, because I just wanted to make this grand spectacle.
Yes.
But all the plans that we had literally crumbled. And so we just decided to take the step, and I did it. I did it respectfully.
You decided to take the step without the 10 grand?
Without the 10 grand.
So you didn't wait and save up another 10 grand?
No, not one bit. Because
Wow, that's crazy.
It was literally my sign. Are you trusting in the plan or are you trusting me? See? And that's the thing. When I say that entrepreneurs have to have the biggest portion of faith ever, I am not playing about that, because you can leave your job. You can do everything by the book. They say, oh, make sure you have at least 6 months of resources set up for you and blah, 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 blah. But for some people, they don't make enough money to save up six months of resources like
that. They're living check to check. Literally.
Right. Yeah. Even if you're not living check to check, I mean, it's like, if to save up 6 months of resources, that may take you another year. You know what I mean? Or 2 years or whatever.
Yeah.
But the thing was, I was still working steady enough because I was doing both. I was doing my job at this institution, and on the weekends, I was going off and I was shooting for, I do highlights and pre-fight interviews for a subsidiary of UFC.
Mm-hmm.
So I was doing stuff for TV as well as doing like music videos and commercials and stuff like that. So little things that was like I can do on a weekend. I was what they call a weekend warrior.
Yes.
All right.
By the way, shameless plug, he did my first music video. All right, continue.
I'll let you do the shameless plugs. But I was doing those things on a regular basis, but I realized that I couldn't do that and work at the same time because my delivery times and my turnaround times was slowing down because I was picking up more work, but I still had a 9-to-5. And, you know, certain people, we're not going to call those certain people out, you know, tend to walk by your desk and like, that doesn't look like a spreadsheet, and they'll go rat on you. And so I was catching a little bit of heat for trying to catch up on some edits at work when on my downtime or whatever. And so that I had to really just make a decision. And it just so happened that at the time that I made the decision, like I said, okay, I gave my job a month. Most people put it in their 2 weeks more notice. I was like, you know what? I understand the nature of this job.
We give you 4 weeks.
I don't want to leave you on bad terms just in case. You know, trying to create that safety net.
Yeah.
Just in case I may have to come back. You know, I'll give you a month to bring somebody in. I'll train them for a month.
You're really nice, man.
Listen, they were golden handcuffs. This month did not hurt me.
I didn't give my golden handcuffs no notice. I called from home and just was like, I was supposed to be in that day. Just like, I'm not coming. Wow. Good job, man. Good job.
No, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it in good conscience. Because I don't like to burn bridges.
Yes.
And two, this place was still beneficial to me.
Absolutely.
All right. It still is beneficial to me.
Absolutely.
So I don't want to leave on bad terms. And it proved to, you know, down the line, it proved to be very good for me. But
caveat, boys and girls, don't take my advice. Don't do what I did.
No,
that's horrible. That's I was so horrible. Okay.
So the minute that I made the decision, two major offers came in, like within a week, I want to say. And I'm talking about like 5-figure contracts.
Wow.
Like the 10 grand that we were supposed to save up was made in a day.
Wow.
So like that was the thing. Like I got it now. So it's like, okay, so you had this whole plan, kick your feet up on the desk and be like, I'm out this piece. Nope, I'm not going to give you the opportunity to do that. You need to save 10 grand. You would have relied on 10 grand. You wouldn't have relied on me. So all these things that God is speaking to me and showing me like right in front of my face, basically giving me the, you know, the father-son mush when the son's being a knucklehead and the father's like, pop him up, pop him backside of the head. Yeah. Like, boy, what are you doing? Like, what do you think you're doing? All that stuff was happening to me while trying to make this decision. So this was the thing. Like,
so there was no time frame. There's no planning how you would like it to be.
Nope. It works. I mean, that for makes some people, but not for others.
Yeah, for some people, those are the exceptions. What we say, the exceptions, not the rule.
Yes.
And the rule is, you know, if you're looking for a rule, there's never going to be a right time. You have to make it the right time, as I've heard, you know, another motivational speaker say somewhere.
I would say this too. Don't go quitting your job if you only have a hobby.
No. Yeah. And that's the thing. I think, you know, what we were talking about yesterday was really the discussion, right? Especially if like you're married, right? The discussion with your spouse. And in your case was unique, like the person yesterday, is that you're married to another entrepreneur.
Right.
Right. So that's also not usually a rule. Like that's another exception.
Mm-hmm.
Most times one, you know, person in the relationship is an entrepreneur, a dream chaser, you know, we call them, and another one is a career person. That's my reality.
Right.
So I have to contend a lot with trying to like explain my mindset of an entrepreneur to my wife.
Mm-hmm.
And really what we came out with is that like you can't overstate enough the importance of communication.
Right.
And I'm sure that's true whether both people are entrepreneurs or not. Like,
absolutely.
Communicate. You know, whether you're not, you got 10 grand saved up, whether or not, heck, even if it is a hobby, right? You're saying don't take that leap if it's just a hobby, but even if it is a hobby and that's what you want to roll the dice with, Communicate.
Right.
If you don't have that, you know, then how can the person on the other side of that really stick beside you in all fairness, right? So, you know, you don't have a timeline. You more so have a kind of a mindset that you adopt and take on that says, this is really important to me. This is something I'm very passionate about. If another person's life or livelihood, well-being is at stake with your decision, you communicate, you have that discussion, you have several discussions. I'm sure that just wasn't a one conversation thing. It probably was an ever-evolving conversation. And then, you know, once you have that conversation, it then becomes, you know, I don't know. I think the second part becomes different for everybody. But like in your case, you know, what's the thing that keeps you as driven today versus the very first day you left and took the leap? Like you got to somehow synthesize and keep replicating that drive every day, every morning you wake up. What's doing that for you?
Three words. No plan B. So here's the thing. A leap of faith is a leap of faith, right? There's no safety net underneath you. There's no harness. We're not bungee jumping. We're not parachute. We're not skydiving.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We're not even like on a high rise trapeze.
Yeah.
Right. There's nothing that's going to stop you from falling, except for you keep fueling your jetpack. All right. And that's the thing. There's no plan B. So going into this, it was, okay, so before you had the luxury of a 9-to-5 and you had a steady paycheck coming in. And if you get a gig, great. If you don't, oh, well, I still have a job.
The lights will still be on.
Now it's, oh, shoot, now I got to go hunting for gigs. And I mean, every business is different. Like, if you're trying to run a store or a clothing line or something like that, like, you know, there's some sort of outreach that you have to do in order to maintain your business.
Yes.
So for me as a cinematographer, like, I have to make sure, like, first off, I need to make sure that the jobs that I do get are good enough for people to recommend me. That's number one.
Okay.
Number two, I have to be good enough to stand out to get those recommendations.
Yes.
Then number three, I have to be able to know business aspect outside of my business. So let's say my expertise is making movies, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do I go to a bank and shoot a commercial for a bank if I don't know how the bank selling points?
Okay.
How do I shoot a restaurant if I don't know how to, you know?
You got to get the creative direction.
I'm not going to get a close up on a spatula, right? And be like, yeah, this looks good, right? And I was like, yeah, but he's like doing the whole pizza dough tossed and all that other stuff over there, and you closing up on a spatula because the spatula looks cool. You know what I mean? So
yes,
like there's a whole side of everything. Now there's no marketing department. You are the marketing department.
Yes, you are.
There's no IT department. You are the IT department.
Accounts receivable.
Department. No, there's no accounts receivable. There's no accounts payable. Like
you're all that.
So now, running your own business, okay, your talent is no longer enough. See, if you're a hobbyist and you have a 9-to-5 and you do what you do, you can get by on your talent. That's it. All right. But now your talent is no longer enough. Now you have to have customer service. Now you have to, what happens if I have a client? Like, I think it was.
That's good stuff. I never thought of that.
Not this year, but I believe it was last year. I ended up having to pay $3,000 back to a client because I had a drive that dropped while I was working on it, and I lost everything I shot for the last 4 years, including two weddings that I haven't delivered. And I had to pay $3,000 back.
Wow.
Now,
that's crazy.
That's crazy, right? I didn't have that money in the bank. So I had to scramble to make $3,000 to pay back to these folks. Like, yes.
That hurts.
Right. So all these skills now had to just come up, like, into play. Because
that's good, man. That's because I never even thought of that piece. Is like, you're right. Like, as a hobbyist, just having the talent is enough, man. But like, when you decide to take that thing a step further and actually go into business, now you have to be the talent. You have to be customer service. Like,
you can't
be like, you know, how, like, we hear it's a kind of a stereotype that like your creatives, like your painters and your poets, mm-hmm. could be sometimes naturally like what's that that word where like you're not really a external person? What do they call it? The introvert,
right?
Right. Like sometimes a lot of creative geniuses, right, are introverted people, mm-hmm. right? But like, there's no room for being an introvert when you decide you want to be a business,
right?
Now, like introverts stay broke. Like you won't.
Right.
Like you have to put yourself out there, know how to talk to people, know how to communicate. Know how to, you know, the whole administrative side, like know how to bill an invoice, know how to draft the invoice, know how to,
bro.
Like either you're going to learn these things, do them, or find somebody else that can do it for you.
You cannot be an introvert. Now, there's an asterisk, there's a caveat to that, okay? If you have a tight circle of friends, you can always lean on that tight circle of friends, right?
For what? For helping run those aspects of business?
Or for resources. So the thing about an introvert versus an extrovert, right? An extrovert, I'm an extrovert. Mm-hmm. I can go see somebody across the street right now, don't know him from Adam, go up to us, yo, my name's Dre, what's going on, blah, 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 and just strike up a conversation at will, right? An introvert couldn't do the same thing. They would need somebody to introduce that person to them.
Uh-huh.
So resources are resources no matter what, and it's very important. Mm-hmm. So
I see.
You know, so let's just say that I am really not good at math. Well, I am, but I'm just saying, just as an example, if I'm not good at math, I know somebody who is good at math, and I say, listen, I don't know how to do this whole income and you know, put expenses, stuff away. And I don't know how to do all that, and I need someone to help me. And I know somebody who either knows somebody or who is.
Yeah.
I can reach out to them and say, hey, can you help me?
Yes.
And 9 times out of 10, if you're supported like you would like to be supported.
Yes.
That's a whole different topic right there. But if you're supported like you would like to be supported, then that person will either say, here is some resources, or let me help you.
Well, we're going to get into that. It's not so much off as for the topic. We're going to definitely, chew on this thing of entrepreneurship in the face of friendships. You know, that when I talked to you first off air, right? It's like the pain and beauty of friendship in entrepreneurship, right? So, you know, but to your point, right? A resource is just that, a resource.
Right.
No matter what way or color, how it's, you know, coming, if you're being helped in some respect, it is a resource.
It's a resource.
And I guess it's not that maybe an introvert cannot be successful at business. Maybe it's first being honest with yourself and knowing you're an introvert, and then knowing what you need to set in motion, or what friends you need to have, or family to assist you, because you now want to put this thing as a business.
Right.
Now, I don't know, is there such thing as like an in-between, like an introvert, extrovert? Like, is there a word for that?
I don't know if there's a word for it.
Because I feel like that's where I fall. Like, I can really be, most times, I think, for myself, I think I identify as an introvert. What people witness on the outside, and, you know, there's people that I run into, or we have conversations about that, always challenging me on that. They're like, oh, there's no way you're introverted. You're totally, you know, whether they, you know, because they see me on the dance floor, or we go to parties or events together as family. But when I'm doing that, I tell people it's come from having a history, a lived life experience of when I am being my most authentic, true to me, introvert self. I've realized over time, as a kid, as a teenager, as a young adult, that in most spaces, it makes the people around me uncomfortable. So what I've learned and taught myself over these years is how to adapt to the space, so that I can, you know, for lack of a better phrase, make the people around me comfortable.
Right.
Now, you know, some would argue, well, you know, that you shouldn't be worried about that. But, you know, I think most introverts probably have this phenomenon where inside, yeah, you're comfortable being an introvert, but there's something still about other people that you want to enjoy.
Right.
You want to be able to enjoy the company of others, but you can't escape yourself. I mean, I'm an introvert though, but I want to have, you know, it's like how you said, you know, unless someone introduced somebody, the guy from across the street, to me, but it's not to say that you don't want to have a conversation with someone.
You're just not making the first step.
Yeah, you just don't know how to make the first step.
Right.
So that's kind of what it is. It's like, you know, I realize how I can simply adapt, how I can make people comfortable. And then when I'm in my, you know, personal space, when I'm home, like my wife will tell you all the time, like, she had to get used to, when we first got married, us being in the same, like, literally same room together, and me just sitting quietly. Like, and not having a conversation with her, not talking, nothing being wrong with me. And she had to first, like, for the first maybe year or so, it would always be constantly like, you know, are you okay? Is something wrong? And I'd be like, no, man, I'm just chilling. Like, the TV wouldn't be on. I could just be sitting in the dark on the sofa. I'm just, this is me.
I have this thing that I do. I started to learn breathing. All right. So basically, rather if you're feeling overwhelmed, or if you're, you know, just like want to clear your head, like there's breathing techniques that you would do. And so when I started learning it, I was just like, I just need a temporary reset.
Uh-huh.
And my wife will be like, what's wrong?
Oh, you were doing it like out loud like that?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, because you have to. Like,
I mean, but you were... It someone on the outside of you could notice you were being intentional with the breath.
Yes.
Okay. It wasn't like, you know, because there's a quiet way to take a deep breath.
Right.
You know what I mean? You could just be like, you know, but you were like, hey, I need to really get this air in because I'm feeling something right now.
Yes. Like, there's like temporary resets down yeah. to sleeping, breathing, and all that stuff. So I would do like a temporary reset, right? Just to, okay, I'm getting ready to shift focus from this task over to this task. Yes. Let me just do a quick reset. Whatever. My wife will be like, what's wrong? And I would like, I almost start to feel like, why do you keep asking me what's wrong? Like, nothing's wrong. I'm just taking
trying
a breath.
To breathe,
can I,
woman.
Can I breathe? But she is one of those, she is an introvert that is, she's one of those in between, but she leans more on the introverted side.
Yes.
Because
I can see that. For
like,
sure.
I have to sell her when I am around because she won't sell herself. And that's the thing about, you know, as an entrepreneur, you have to know how to sell yourself, right?
Yes.
And I have to be, for anybody who watches wrestling, I have to be her Paul Heyman to her Brock Lesnar. It's like, do you understand who this is? Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Andre Griffith, and I am the advocate for the illustrious, the published, the amazing.
10 times published.
Right. Tekoa Griffith. Okay.
But it's people like, you know, some of us just, I think we really struggle with, like, our own accolade. Like, we struggle to talk. Like, you know how there are people that say, like, I hate talking about myself.
Yes.
Like, that's a real thing. It's like, and whether or not you objectively don't like talking about yourself, or is that you fear what people will think about you because you're talking about yourself.
You want to know what the core of that is? You have the wrong people around you. Listen. There's a difference between acknowledging your accomplishments and bragging and boasting. If you're afraid to acknowledge your accomplishments because of the feedback that you're going to get for acknowledging your accomplishments, then the people who are around you do not have that higher aspiration in life and therefore will look down upon you because you're doing your dreams and they're not. Which is so important for you to keep people in your circle, in your immediate circle, who are actively trying to better themselves. Because people who are actively trying to better themselves, when they hear your accomplishments, they're cheering for you.
Yes.
Because we're on this journey together.
Yes.
People who aren't actively trying to better themselves will sit there and like, I don't care. Like, I don't need those type of people around me. I am rooting for you to, we're almost crossing genres in what we do, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yet and still, if anybody ever asks me, do I know how to start a podcast or anything to do with a podcast, I am literally sending them over to you. Like, if there's anything that, because I want you to succeed. I want you on the same level as Breakfast Club and Charlamagne and all them. I want you on that level. Right. As far as your voice acting career is concerned, I want you on the James Earl Jones level.
Yeah.
The Morgan Freeman level. You know what I'm saying? And your acting career, all of that. I want you on the top tier. I am never going to throw shade at you for improving. When you came to me and asked for me help for help, I'm like, yo, I got some equipment here. Let's
fire.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So if your circle that's around you, and I'm not talking about your immediate family or anything like that, but I'm just talking about your immediate cohort. If they're not cheering for you to succeed, and if you feel that you cannot sit there and be like, hey, look what great happened to me, you have the wrong people around you. And that will forever, again, as an entrepreneur, you have to sell yourself. What is the one thing that people hate to see, unless it's them, on TV when they're watching TV?
Unless it's them. Another brother winning.
Nah, a commercial.
Oh, unless it's them.
People don't like seeing a commercial unless it's them on a commercial. Then all of a sudden you love commercials.
That's true. Because I'd be skipping a commercial.
Right. But guess what those
unless
commercials
it's my
are?
Commercial.
The commercials are the companies selling themselves.
Yes.
They're sitting there saying, hey, listen, we've got the best cars. Hey, listen, we got the
best paper towels.
Listen, compared to the leading brand, our brand soaks up more water when free spills its juice.
Exactly.
You know, so, you know, they're selling themselves. They're not necessarily bragging, so to speak, but they're telling you our product is more superior.
Yeah.
And because our product is more superior, then so if I went and say, hey, my filmmaking is superior at this level, y'all need to come and spend your money with me. Then somebody had said, I posted up something that it was like a pet peeve of mine in the filmmaking space. And then somebody who saw it and commented it then subtweeted and said, does your ego outweigh your talent? And I'm like, I'm gonna let that one go. But your ego and your talent almost have to be on that same level.
Well, it's like Muhammad Ali said, what he was famous for saying, I was calling myself great before I ever knew I was.
Listen, and if you want to go the spiritual churchies, you got to see it before you see it or you never will see it.
That part.
If I don't celebrate myself, this is the one thing that I've like harked on my wife all year for. Listen.
And I've seen her get better in recent months or this past year in celebrating herself. And
because she got slammed for it.
Yeah.
She got slammed for not celebrating herself because this woman went from no publications in 2021 to over 20 publications in 2022.
Wow.
All right. And then got picked up on Vogue magazine's roster of photographers.
Wow.
Like magazines are coming to her asking her for shoots now.
Awesome.
And I'm sitting there like, yo,
you gotta celebrate that.
Every publication that you got, it gotta be a post, it gotta be a story, it gotta be something. Like, I don't care how many likes you don't get, because there are people who sat there and looked at her and said, oh, because of her past, she will never amount to her. She will never ever be great or whatever. And here she is, just randomly out of nowhere, to have this flourishing photography career.
Yeah.
And now nobody wants, she's afraid to celebrate herself because she's afraid that people will sit there and like, you know what I mean? And I'm like, no, that's the thing. For me personally, I do it when it's warranted. Right, so
you do what specifically?
I celebrate.
Okay,
when it's warranted. I won't sit there and say, you know my rule. You know you don't know what I'm doing. Until after it's done.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So, my first film got picked up on Amazon.
Yeah.
You didn't find out about it but then when it came out there, I was like, yo, I'm shouting to the mountaintops. Yo, my very first film got picked up on Amazon.
Yes.
When we won the award for the film that we shot this year that you were a part of. Thank you very much. We won the award. I made sure I put everybody's name on that trophy. I should have brought it so you could take a picture with it. But I made sure everybody's name was on that trophy and not just mine, because I didn't make that thing by myself. I am very adamant on, if you're doing good work, I am going to I'm going to celebrate you, because when I'm doing good work and when I get an award or when I get some recognition, I'm going to celebrate myself as well, because you have to look at what you've done and be proud of what you've done and then say, okay, where do we go from here? Because if you look at yourself, I know there's a thing people are going to say, well, that's not being humble. That's not exercising humility. Humility comes when you don't take it, when you don't take what you've done to put anybody else down.
Yeah, that part. It's not.
That's a brag.
Yeah, it's not this complete detachment from recognizing the greatness that's on the inside of me. That's not the humility there, right? It's in relation to the rest of the world around me.
Right.
Right? Like, you know, all of you peasants beneath me, like no one could achieve what I have done, or, you know, that mindset. And I think that's the leading, I think, hurdle to people being able to feel confident in that is, like I, you know, said earlier, it's just being worried about the people who are in their circle, in their network of friends, is that this is going to make them feel uncomfortable, or this is going to make them feel like I'm trying to be better than them. Mm-hmm. But like you said, if we both as friends have our head down Hand to the Plow. I'm not, I don't really have even the headspace to find offense and disgust or whatever in your celebration, right?
Right.
If anything, if we're both tilling the ground, if we're both at work with my head down, hands to the plow, you over there, you got your head down, hands to the plow, right? And then you stumble across a gym. If anything, because I'm doing the same thing you're doing, I'm getting excited with you because I'm going, oh, at any minute, I'll be hitting a gym.
Because that ain't the only gym in the field.
That part. That part. But we both have to be tilling. The people else in your circle have to be working their dream, doing the same work passionately you're doing. Not the same industry, but just the work as in working the faith, working the vision, how we say, right? Right. You got all these people that want to do, you know, these vision boards or, you know what? Hey, for you or your network, those of you listening, it might be a thing where, you know what, if you have the majority of your circle or network of friends, hey, don't believe in vision boards or don't believe in, they don't have a dream for themselves. They don't have a passion for any particular thing or they haven't discovered it yet. That might not be where you want to be in the center of, because you're going to be that oddball out that, yes, you now will feel extremely awkward yelling from the mountaintop, hey guys, look what I just, you know, got booked for. Look what I just achieved. And everyone else is like, it's crickets looking at you like, you know, who do you think you are? That's not.
That's okay. Continue with your little arts and crafts project.
Yo.
I'm just saying.
It definitely weighs heavy on who's the people around. But that's kind of like the, you know, considering the pain part of that coin, right? Because there's a very beautiful element in, you know, to having friendships, having people, the support that comes with people in this journey as an entrepreneur. And I think it could get lost in translation many times where we have these kind of potential hurdles or hangups that other people or the wrong people around you can bring, where people who decide, you know, they want to venture into an entrepreneur, you know, industry, it could get lost in translation that they think the message is, so, okay, so I just need to like be so tunnel vision focused, I don't make time for friends. I can't be bothered with relationships because I don't want to run into people who just are trying to hold me down. And I don't want that to be the takeaway.
No.
It's about the right people.
The right people.
Because there's a very beautiful thing when you find yourself in the center of a circle of people who are like-minded like you.
So I think of like stories like Apple. I think of like one of the most successful franchises, movie franchises, is the MCU, Marvel.
Okay.
Right? And you have the Russo brothers who did all but one of the Captain America movies and the last two Avenger movies, right? They're brothers. They directed that movie together. They directed those movies together. Apple started in a garage with, like, I think it's 3 or 4 people.
Wow.
And those, and they ended up off of whatever venture they were doing becoming this like giant, massive success. And the thing is, everybody had the same goal in mind. All right. And so when you're around people who have a like-minded version of success or a like-minded vision of success, then that's going to feed off of you. That's going to feed off of you. We had the conversation off air about Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
If you ever watch most of his comedy movies, not the last two movies that he did, which was Hidden Gems or Uncut Gems, yeah, and Hustle.
But what's his production company? It's like Madison, Billy Madison?
Happy Madison.
Happy Madison?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you look at Grown Ups, or you look at like The Water Boy, and you're going to find at least 2 or 3 of the same actors in that movie that are in 4 or 5 other Adam Sandler movies. And that's because he had the notion of, hey, let's do this project together. And this project made some money, so let's do another project together. Mm-hmm. And although Happy Madison may be his production company, but he still supports Chris Rock. He still supports Kevin James, yeah, and all the other people who are doing their doing their thing. Yeah. And you know, secretly behind the scenes, they may be contributing somehow, one way or another, to each other's projects, but they're always together in some form or fashion because they all had like-minded. I saw this firsthand with the new recent batch of actors that are coming into Hollywood because I know a bunch of them. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that they're always together. Why are they always together? Because I know that if I book a role, mm-hmm. you're not going to sit there and get mad at me because I book a role.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to be right there next to me, or, hey, I can get you a walk-on part, or, you know, just yeah. come be on set or work your way up. If yeah. I got the big role and you didn't get the big role.
Or just hold the boom mic for me.
Listen, when you invite yeah. people to come into your circle and they just don't show up, and then some of the actors on your set need to start acting like their crew and, you know.
Running the camera too.
Listen, there are some people in my life that I said, I don't care what, if I find an opportunity for you, I'm going to put your name in the hat.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to be one of those people who have their name spoken about in meetings and you don't even know about it.
Didn't like one of the models in your last movie like help you with the camera?
Listen.
Like, that's gotta be so fire though. Like, to know that you have if you could have five of those type of people in your circle or network. That it's like, listen, I want to be supportive of whatever you're doing to whatever the capacity is. If I get to be in front of the camera, or, hey, you need me to switch gears and get behind, you know, camera number two, I think that is so dope.
You want to know the seed sow / karmic value to what you just said? That same model that was helping me run the camera on that last production is now signed on for a major movie. Like, they're moving to Atlanta, or they should be in Atlanta now. Wow. We'll be on set for the next couple of months on a major movie.
That's awesome.
Because I approached them about being on the movie that I'm working on now, mm-hmm. and I was like, I'm not even going to be in town by then. Like, this is where I'm going. Like, they've been bouncing back between New York, Atlanta, and Hollywood, like, for the last 3 or so months.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, that's the seed sow / karmic value. Of when, like, I believe in you enough that this is not my yeah. job, but I'm still going to do my job. Like, I will always, like, remember that type of stuff yeah. because I need it to happen to me. And I'm not saying that because of that.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's just like I've thrown my name in the hat, or I've, like, volunteered and helped people so much because I believe, like, if you're doing what you love, I mm-hmm. want to see you succeed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And because I want to see you succeed, I will help you in any kind of way that doesn't hinder me.
Yeah.
You know, not minorly inconvenience me. That doesn't hinder me. Like, I'm not going to lose myself to help you, but I will sacrifice a little bit of what I'm doing
yeah,
to
yeah.
come give you some time to help you grow.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
in the end, either I'm going to learn something or I'm going to come along with you. And that's the whole thing. And I'm speaking yeah, basically yeah. in my field of expertise terms. So I'm speaking in filmmaking terms. So, you know, if I know that you're shooting a big budget commercial or whatever, all right?
Yeah.
Yo, this is your first joint or whatever, whatever. Listen, just let me be a production assistant, all right? Yeah, I don't have yeah. to run a camera. I don't have to clap a clapper, all right? I just want to be there just to help because, yo, I want to, A, help you be the best person that you can be by taking some stuff off your plate. And B, by being in that environment, I'm going to learn.
Yeah.
And so then when I go back to my own productions or whatever, whatever, I learned this on set. I learned this by this situation. And so having those type of people in your circle is always beneficial. And so that when you do, like, I get people to say all the time, we're going to see you at the Emmys one day. We're going to see you at the Emmys one day. And I'm like,
yeah,
like, hopefully, like, you know, I just had lunch with a couple never people the it. Other day. One actress who was, like, in my first film, she had, like, maybe 10, 15 seconds of screen time. And that 10, 15 seconds of screen time got her an Apple TV Plus, wow. Like, lead. and I had lunch with them the other day, and and I was just like, and her boyfriend, who was my producer, who is now a stage manager for Hadestown, the play, it's on the road and like hasn't stopped working like 3 years, and I'm just like, bro, I'm gonna see you at the Tonys. He was like, you wanna be right there next to me.
That's right.
And I'm like, yo, see, and that's what I'm talking about. Like, yo,
yeah, yeah.
Like, not the facetious, yo, what up, Doc? How you doing, man? I'm just trying to be like you when I grow up, man.
Trying to be like
knowing very well that they don't mean that. Like, they're just saying that to be like false gassing your head up. And like, that's just something that black folks, we just need to stop.
I know I'm guilty of saying that.
Stop. Come on. Just stop. Like, just, yo, if you really support somebody, you would show up for them.
Yes.
That's just the bottom line.
Is there any, in your mind, like, I want people to show up for me, but again, I think it's one of those things that are, it's good to have, you know, defined for you. Like, you know, so showing up for me could look like several different ways, mm-hmm. right? Like, so sometimes it's literally speaking, you know, physically being there. But other times it's like, you know, what we tell people all the time, where you see these like memes or posts on social media, it's like, dude, it literally costs $0.00 to share a post.
Yep.
That's showing up for me. You know what I mean? Like, it costs $0.00 to answer a text message or pick up a phone call. Like, case in point, when I need to FaceTime Dre from the studio when we first moved to this spot, and like, yo, I need you to walk me through a couple of things. Like, how come I don't hear any sound coming out of my microphone? You know what I mean?
This dude to text me 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, yo, you up? Knowing exactly. Good and well, I'm probably sitting there at my editing booth, like, just like, yeah, I'm up.
But
what,
that's showing up, you know? And he's going to be hecka busy in a physical sense, where there'll be a dozens of times where he can't physically show up. But, you know, having just access like that, is huge to me, especially, you know, I mean, if I know you're somebody that is, you know, you got a whole wife, family, yourself on top of just the world of entrepreneurship, whatever you're trying to manage, I'm very respectful and understanding people's time, you know? So it's just like, hey, I don't expect you to show up to my spoken word event, or, you know, when I was doing, you know, battle rap, or even like, you know, if I'm going to be, you know, doing some, you know, film or whatever, but, you know, can I text you? Can I reach out? Can you just share this for me? You know, I'm trying to release this. Like, that's showing up for me.
Man, stop letting strangers out-support your people. I gotta say that.
Nah, that's a...
Stop letting strangers out-support your people.
Yeah.
There was a post that came out that said,
stop letting strangers out-support your people.
Celebrity A comes out with a product. You don't know them. You never met them. You can't call them. You can't text them. You can barely DM them. And you'll buy whatever it is that they put out. 400, 500. Beyonce comes out with a tour, and the tickets are like $600. You putting up your next 3 paychecks.
Maxing out the credit card. Man.
Maxing out the credit card.
Yo, to that's pay, crazy.
And you will buy that concert. But your friend that you done went to middle, high school, and college with
just released their first book.
No.
For $9.99,
they're going to the open mic.
Oh God!
At the downtown bar, and you won't even show up to them. That don't cost you nothing but a 2-drink minimum.
Sometimes it's a free open
mic. Yo, listen, yo. Support yo. If you know people that's doing stuff, support them at the level that they are now. And then maybe, just maybe, when they get up to a big level, you'll be in the seats where they're receiving the award. Because, yo, this person was with me. That, like, we like to use the term day one. We like to use the term day one. And there's a whole bunch of people that they don't want to support you until day 20 or day 50 or day 330.
Yo,
like, What, like, stop letting strangers out support your own people.
You gotta be. I told my wife, I shared with her a while back. I used to call it when I started out with Freestyle Gospel. It was just for my music, and so over the years, it's like, you know, evolved into, you know, what we have today. But back then, I titled what was back then called my Grammy Award speech, and then over the years, I've crossed out Grammy and just called it Award speech. Because at this point, it's like, look, I could be, you know, it could be any award, right?
Right.
So for me, it was important for me to draft that document and have a running, you know, maybe even draft, or, you know, since I've drafted, I've added several other names at the bottom. I flipped the piece of paper over. It's to the point where I used to keep it in my wallet all the time, and now I have to keep it in my safe because the paper is so fragile. Now, because it's that old of a piece of paper, but it was important for me to document who those people were and are. There's actually an individual. Wow, that just hit me. That's tough. There's actually a person on the list now who's passed away, who's no longer with us.
Right.
And man, I never want to forget those people who gave me a chance, who helped support me in the beginning, you know, before, you know, it was a household name, before any big award. And people have to know, man, if you believe in yourself enough, or whatever it is, the entrepreneur thing you do, whatever creative thing you do, hopefully you believe in yourself enough to know that one day you will be on that grand stage and receiving an award and have to give a speech. And I hope you know, the very next day after that, there'll be a ton of people looking to support you and accolade you. And hopefully you're not taken by storm and swept off your feet by that. Mm. Hopefully you can, there's some people still in your circle that could keep you grounded and reminded of who really is the foundation and your support base beneath you. Because everybody else that's going to come after that day, after that speech, don't really represent the foundation.
Right.
They could be here today, and just as quickly as they came after the speech, as quickly as they'll be gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the minute the scandalous story comes out, or, you know, some rumor comes out in the tabloids about you or whatever, or a bad tweet comes out.
Not even.
They'll be gone.
Not even. Let's say you hit that big money contract, right? And that deal falls through. Nothing bad gotta happen.
You're not the it guy anymore.
Free. We want you to be the voice of Nike. All right. This is going to pay you $10 million a year. And then something happens to Nike. And that voice, all those people who was like, yo, I heard you got that Nike contract. What up, big baller? And I was like, oh, you thought you was something because you had a contract for Nike.
Yeah, man.
You know, it's just like that. And we got to stop. We got to stop doing that, man.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's important to, you know, keep a circle, keep a network. Don't abandon one entirely just because, you know, the possibility lies there for it to not always work out. The possibility for just humans to be just that, humans, you know, for you to stumble across and might just find a mole in your circle, right? That doesn't mean that abandon the idea entirely.
You watch too much TV, man.
Hey, man, there's a mole, man. You know, but more so, you know, let it be a point of whether it's TV or film, or, you know, the limelight space as an entrepreneur, or you're just, you know, you're just trying to, you want to be a successful mom and pop grocery store or corner store, you know, whatever it is. There's a beautiful thing in having friendships that are committed to supporting you and wanting to see you win.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, because humans are imperfect beings, is that sometimes you stumble across somebody who otherwise, you know what, we've been friends for 15 years. And as long as I wasn't pursuing anything really grand or doing something out of the ordinary that my friend was doing for 15 years, we were fine. I didn't really see this other side of them until I decided
you wanted to be better,
to be more than, you know, what we've only known and always known. And then I realized suddenly I started my business and these people that have been around for 10 plus years, 15 years, suddenly they started acting funny or weird or whatever. And that's what I've heard you say more than one time. Hey, some people can't go with you to the next place.
Right.
They're excellent for the space you were in yesterday. They've been excellent for the spaces you've been in for the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. But you know what? You decide in your mind, you resolve within yourself that I want to pursue something different now. It might be that space. They're not suited. And it doesn't make them horrible people. I don't want to say that. I don't think they're not horrible people. They have a purpose, you know, they're suitable for somebody somewhere. It's just not for me, not where I'm trying to go next.
That fall off is real.
That fall off is crazy.
Listen, when I decided to end C1 Radio, which was for just a backdrop, C1 Radio was one of the top radio stations in the country for Christian hip hop. Mm-hmm. And when I stopped it, where when I pivoted away from there.
I was going to say, because you have C1 Media.
Right, I have C1 Media now. But when I pivoted away from C1 Radio, oh my goodness, the attention that I was no longer getting.
No longer.
And you know why I was no longer getting that attention? Because I was useless to some people.
Useless to me, sir.
Yes.
You have no utility.
Nope.
You lost your utility.
I was getting, was it close to 2 million viewers, 2 million listeners a month.
Wow.
And then when I went and said, hey, I need financial support, right, to keep this thing going, because I was paying for everything out of pocket. My licensing, my BMI, ASCAP, CSAC licensing, so that artists can get paid when I play their stuff. Like, I needed money for that. I needed money to actually keep the radio station running. All right, that's my electric bill. That's my internet bill. That's all this other stuff. The equipment that you have to keep to, you know, keep the stuff going. You can't just use an SM58 for the radio. You need some stuff like this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So when I said, hey, I need, you know, financial support, and I'm reaching out to people. Hey, listen, we play your music a lot. All I'm asking for is for you to take out an ad, not for you to pay to keep your music in rotation. But advertise your album, your project on the radio station. Take, you know, get some of my rates or whatever. All right. And everybody was like, no, we can't do that. We can't do that. So then when I shut the radio station down for good, this was like 3 years ago, after running for 10 years, then all of a sudden I post something and I went from 50 to 60 likes a post down to 15, 20 a post. And I'm like, why? I looked at, so my friend count, my follower count dropped.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow. So because I have no more value, you no longer see me as a person that you need to be connected to. I have no more value in the space.
Yeah, the fall off, man, because they realize that you're not assisting me no more.
Listen.
You're no use to me, bro.
So I'm like, but wait, I'm still kind of in that space. I just
pivoted. I'm still crazy one.
I'm still C1. That's never going away. Like, I've directed like some serious stuff and say directed by Andre Crazy One Griffin.
Exactly.
Everybody was like, why do you keep putting that
I'm
on there?
I'm still the same dude.
I've been called Crazy One since high school. I'm not dropping it.
Yes.
But yes, that fall off is crazy. It's like, so you really weren't, you were just there because I had the exposure.
You was just there to eat.
Listen, I was hosting stuff at Stellar's, all right? I was, like, going across the country, like, so people knew who I was. Like, I have, like, legends, Hall of Fame, Rock and Roll Hall of Famers that I am friends with on Facebook and follow me on Twitter, right?
Yep.
And none of those people unfollow or unfriend me. It was all the people. Why? Because
it was the regular degglers.
Listen,
that's what they call them.
It was the ones that
the regular degglers.
Exactly how you said. I'm happy for you as long as you're doing good, once you start going for better. Now, in that same space, this is one of the reasons why I decided to quit my job, because where I'm thinking is that these folks that were in this circle, right, that they didn't want me around anymore. But then when they realized that, I mean, that I meant business, they came around and was like, hey, listen, I heard you was doing this, and I heard you was doing a pretty good job at this in terms of filming, right? These are the folks that I was dealing with on the radio. Got an artist. I need you to shoot. I need you to follow around New York. I need you to make a little short documentary or whatever. So I made half of last year's salary off of those people. I'm talking about major record labels.
Wow.
Who did not decide to abandon me once I shut down the radio.
Wow.
Because I built, what's that word that you call? Yeah, relationships.
That's it.
Relationships.
Yeah.
And when you build relationships, remember in the beginning of this thing, I said, my work has to A, be good enough to recommend.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And B, has to be stand out so that people will want to recommend.
Yeah.
And so when I started doing that stuff, I got a call, and the call was, hey, can you follow Molly Music and Kiara Shirt around New York? They were doing this, is like just before pandemic hit.
Yeah, yeah.
And I went and I did this, and I turned this into them, and it was like, oh my God, this is great. That turned into, hey, we're doing a virtual concert during pandemic and we want you to come and film it, to, okay, so now we want you to shoot an entire EP, to, oh, well, we want you to follow around this artist, and listen, I done got videos on BET now, on VH1, on Bravo.
Nice.
I done got TV placements. Nice. I started, like, and just off of those relationships. And it's funny, right? Because people within my hometown, that's just Dre. Like, yeah, yeah. Like,
that's just Dre. It's just good old crazy. Listen, one.
I want to say this outside.
Just Dre from around the way.
Yeah, that's it. I want to say this to folks outside of the entertainment industry. When a new Italian restaurant comes out, right? Family owned, no chain, right? You go into that restaurant, you see a whole bunch of dollar bills on the wall and everything like that, right? Where those dollar bills come from? The families and the supporters of that owner, mm-hmm, going in, and we're all just going to go buy out the restaurant, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jewish set up a business. The entire community goes into that business. They put their dollars into that business.
Yeah.
All right. Chinese, same thing. Irish. There's little everythings in all major cities except for a little Africa, so to speak, or mm-hmm, a Black Wall Street, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Why? Because when you go into Little Italy, or you go into Little China, when you go into any of these spaces, right, their communities go and flood them with all of their dollars, because they want them to be a place for them to go.
Yeah.
We very rarely see that with the Black community. If somebody decides that they want to create a body butter business, right? Mm-hmm. Instead of the Black community going and flooding this person with their dollars and say, go make this body butter business global. Well, I can make better body butters.
Hmm. It's true.
If I decide that I want to do a soul food restaurant, my uncle could cook better than that. It's like,
this is true.
This is what we experience. We call that the crab in the barrel syndrome.
Yes.
All right. We have to stop that, because part of entrepreneurship is for the consumers. The consumers have to understand that the entrepreneur is taking a huge leap of faith. They may have had to save up to get a food truck, save up to get a space to rent, and all this other stuff, just for you to say that you don't want to support them because they're not top tier, so to speak. But y'all will go to y'all will go to Michael Jordan's restaurant, or y'all will go to what's her face, Rihanna, and y'all will go and get Savage Fenty, right? Y'all will spend all that money on that type of stuff, but when your homegirl comes out with her clothing line, y'all don't want to support it.
Yeah.
Y'all don't want to buy into it. Y'all don't want to, like, there's no, I'm going to say this, and people are going to get mad at me for saying this, and I guess that's why people don't like me now.
Yeah.
But
no one likes you.
There can be no Black Wall Street if there are no investors. Wall Street is full of investors, full of people who say, I like the direction this company is going in. Let me put this much money in and let me get this amount of shares in. And then when you make a profit, because now your market share has grown, all right, all I require is this much percent.
Yeah.
Right? That is the whole basis of Wall Street.
Mm.
Right? We say running a bunch of pop-up shops one day in the entire year is Black Wall Street. That's not Black Wall Street. Unless we have avid and active investors that invest in our businesses. And I am talking about not, here's $100, baby. I'm glad to see I'm glad you're doing what you're doing. No, I'm talking about, listen, what do you need? All right. If you're talking about a person who does a clothing line, right? What do you need to open up a boutique? Let me put into that. What do you need to what kind of licenses and paperwork do you need to establish a food truck?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if you know somebody who has that entrepreneurial spirit, all right, or if they have the talent but not the business sense, but you can see that their talent can go somewhere and you may have the business sense or know somebody, get a freaking investor for them.
Mm-hmm.
Because somebody may have the talent and not have the business sense, or they might have the talent, they might have the business sense and not have the funds to start it off, right?
Yeah.
And I get upset when I hear, oh, we just need to pull our money together. I'm like, well, listen, half of us who ain't got nothing and trying to do something are around a bunch of other people who ain't got nothing and trying to do something. So where are we pulling this money together? But guess what? And this is where it's really going to get ugly.
Yeah. You're going to really have less friends after this episode.
There are a bunch of folks within our community, all right, who will dress up nice houses, nice cars, right? They done went to their HBCUs. They done came back and they're making 6 and 7 figures, right, that will never invest in a small Black business.
Mm. And I am actually privileged to say that for the Free Lunch podcast, as you were just sharing that, I was thinking, this popped up in my head randomly, but for this season that we're in, that's going to be closing soon, season 3, our 3 business sponsors were people, business owners of color. So I'm happy for that. Big up for them. Big up to them. And also, even season 4 hasn't even launched yet. We have 2 of our sponsor spots already taken by also 2 people of color. So thank you for those who are out there who are being the change that we want to see.
Yeah.
Because there are those people. Granted, you may be in the minority, but hopefully, you know, you're the type of person that takes that mindset. Like we said, you become the change you want to see. And I'm a person that, you know, I don't know if you do this. I try to be very consciously aware of making sure I don't complain about things that I'm not doing anything to shift in my own reality. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's like, hey, if I know I got some kind of shortcomings in that same area or anything, you ain't gonna hear from me. I can even know that it's dead wrong or whatever, but unless I feel like, you know, I'm doing something to change it, I keep my mouth shut most times. But in this thing, for me and my wife both, I mean, I can't tell you guys, in the last 6 years, at least we've been married,
probably almost every single time, maybe 80% of the time that we've ever sown into any of you guys listening out there, if you've had me or my wife sow into your business or purchase something from you or what you're selling, I'm here to tell you directly from the horse's mouth, 80% of the time, we did not have that money, but we did it anyway because we really believe in being the change that we want to see. So,
wise man told me there's three things: time, talent, and treasure. Those are the three main things that you can invest into someone. If you don't have the treasure, invest your time. If you don't have the time per se, all right, then invest your talent. Mm-hmm. Because somehow, some way, all right, you're sowing into something. So it doesn't always have to be monetary.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And, you know, for those of you who come out the pocket, especially when you don't have it to come out the pocket, good for you. But you said, a share does not cost you a thing. All right?
Yeah.
There are people who
like my page.
Right.
Costs you $0.
Right.
And zeros.
Right.
After you like it, you can even go in your settings and unfollow it so that it doesn't come on your feed. But hey, it counts as another like. I get some encouragement.
I know I just threw a couple darts or whatever, but you know, it's still like, because you know what? If you have the clientele or the listenership, rather, if you have the listenership that hears that, I hope it kicks them in the butt if it doesn't.
Yeah.
Because you know what? I dealt with somebody not too long ago, white guy, all right? And not going to tell you where he's from or what he does, all right? But let's just say that he's a pretty big deal.
Yep.
All right? And I was just telling him about stuff. He was like, that sounds like something I want to put money into, right? Now, I'm sitting there like this. Well, then put it in. Like, put it in. Let's do something, right? But at that same time, it's like, yo, I for once, I want to hear a black-owned business say, yo, that sounds like something I want to put money into.
Yeah.
But again, there's different ways if you can do it. I have people come up to me and my wife and just like, hey, listen, just give me some business cards and I'll hand them out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's your time right there.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't cost you anything to do that to help somebody. Like, there are numerous ways to help a business grow.
Yes.
It doesn't always have to be writing a check with a bunch of zeros and say, here, you know what I'm saying? But there's other ways. So I wanted to like kickstart that off. And the pop-up shops and everything like that, that's a very good thing.
It's a good thing.
It's a very good thing. I am not knocking it at all.
Because
I already know that somebody can take what I said out of context.
Exactly.
All right. But you have to understand.
We don't want to stop there.
You don't want to stop there.
Yeah.
I have a 14-year-old daughter who has she does blankets and she does body butters. And she's been in business for almost a year. And for the first time, she had a sense of pride this year for Christmas because she was actually able to buy gifts without asking us for money.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
That's
and
awesome.
I was like, at 14 years old, you know the value of your work and your entrepreneurship, and then you can see the results. And I told her, you know, hey, listen, we're going to do the 20-80 split, all right? 80 goes into that savings. You don't touch it. The 20 is yours. Do whatever you want. Spend it all at the corner store, whatever. Just don't come asking me for more because, you know, you good.
Yeah.
And then by the time that I gave her the okay to spend what was in the savings because she's only 14. All right. Like, yo, go nuts for Christmas if you have to. You know what I mean? And she was like, yay. Like, you know, she had a sense of pride. And I love that.
That's
she
awesome.
Had a sense of pride.
Yeah.
Now we just have to kind of work on not spending everything in the savings account. You know what I'm saying? But we learned the purpose of saving up for what you want, saving up for what you need, saving up for emergencies, that type of stuff. We learned that value, you know what I'm saying? And that's just from a business that, you know, a small business that people literally just supported because she was a kid.
Of course.
Yeah. All right. But people still supported it nonetheless. And all it takes is for that to fuel her entrepreneurial spirit and for whatever it is that she wants to do in the future. Now she knows how to enterprise. Now she knows how to build a business. Now she knows how to run the business. Now she knows that, okay, I can make enough money. I can get my own accounts payable, accounts receivable. I can do all that stuff, you know. By the time she's 21, she's going to be dangerous.
I try using my kid, the new baby, to try to sell some stuff. I'm gonna post. You saw my post with the baby under the Christmas tree?
All right, I'm ahead of
you. Posing with my books?
I saw it.
I tried.
I saw it.
It didn't work.
I was like, dude, no, it didn't work.
But, you know, I thought I could sell at least one book. What? It's an honest try, man. Kids love, people love babies.
Yo, this is not a single father, you know, using the baby or the dog to pick up chicks, right? Just not that, okay? You can't do that with your baby.
I told this baby, the formula's expensive. I need you to contribute to helping your dad get these ends. But, yo, we're like way over time.
I'm sorry, I
gotta definitely gotta get Dre back in here, man. But before we close out, we got to run through what we call on the Free Lunch Podcast our three Fs, and then you got to leave us with the free food for your soul, right? So faith, family, finance, man. We'll run through them for sake of brevity. What are you learning these days in the area of faith?
In the area of faith is that faith is one of the most important things that you have at your disposal as your arsenal. However, if you do not act upon your faith, nothing will happen.
Bar. Family. What do you learn in the area of family?
It's everything. If you don't use your family as a goal to work towards, then you're working towards a whole bunch of nothing. Mm. Because the fruits of your labor, of any business, right? It's money. Primarily, right? Mm-hmm. What are you going to do with that money? I had, and just real quick, mm-hmm. Christmas vacation was this week. I hope I didn't just date the thing, but okay.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
All right, so Christmas vacation was this week, and I took my girls out to, you know, we did axe throwing and all this other stuff, yeah. All right? And, like, I get worried every year because they're getting older, and, like, it's less easy to impress them, but they had a blast. I'm talking 17 and 14 and 25. They had a blast with the activities that I sat there and I was just like in awe. And I'm like, yo, today was just a good day because I'm sitting there watching everybody just have the time of their lives with each other. That's the goal. Yeah. To take care of your family and to make enough that you don't have to worry about taking care of your family.
Finance. What do you learn in the area of finance these days?
That if you do not learn how to manage, you probably get this answer all the time, that if you do not learn how to manage your finances, you are in for a world of headache. Without finances, you can lose your family. Yes. And in some cases, you can lose your faith. Mm.
Hey, that is a bar. Mm. All right, leave us with the food that's going to edify the soul, man. What are we leaving the people with?
I am leaving the people with my mantra.
Did you take, you had a note you prepared for this?
Come on, man. It's me.
He said, this isn't the first episode I've heard. I know how you hit this. You hit this question every.
Well, people want to know always where my name comes from. And.
Hold on. Like what, like your government name?
No, crazy one.
Oh, crazy one.
Yeah.
Well, so I just easily assumed that when you were in school as a youngin', you were just crazy. You were just bat crazy out of your mind. So just naturally just called you crazy one.
Well, originally, yes. But then when I started to adopt it as an adult,
yeah,
I had to have a meaning behind it.
Yes.
Otherwise, it's just like childish immature.
Exactly.
So here it is.
Okay.
Here's to the crazy ones.
What is this from? Is this on your website?
Chill, bro. It's my email signature.
Okay. All right.
Here's to the crazy ones, the misfits, the rebels, the troublemakers, the round pegs in the square holes, the ones who see things differently. They're not fond of rules and they have no respect for the status quo. You can quote them, disagree with them, glorify them, or vilify them. About the only thing you can't do is ignore them. Because they change things. They push the human race forward. And while some may see them as crazy ones, we see genius. Because the people who are crazy enough to think they can change the world are the ones who do.
Woo! Mic drop. Yo. I'm not even going to follow up with nothing like that. Let marinate on that, y'all. Tell the people where they can find you, man. Get in touch with you. See all the cool stuff that you're doing, man. Keep up.
Yes. You can find me on all socials at CrazyOne, CrazyOne373, on all social media platforms, on Instagram, C1_media, which is my actual business page, and the website, which is coming in February, which is C1Network.com. You can go there now. And you can like bookmark it. It's the coming soon and the countdown and everything is already.
Well, when this episode airs, it probably will be
okay
around then.
Okay. So you can catch me. You can also catch me at my website at C1Network.com where you can see my work. And if you want to book me, you can book me through there.
Yeah. You better have that website now up and running. Cause now all this floodgate's gonna be coming to you. Be like, yo, where's the awesome C1? Listen. Now on your Instagram, the C1_media.
Yeah,
is it? Can people see like stuff like you post your
that
present like work whatever you're doing?
That account is focused on my work.
Yeah,
I cross post a lot. Okay, but I had to realize that using the business account was more beneficial than putting everything on my personal account.
Facts. Well, thank you again, man, for coming through. Appreciate you. It's Andre Griffith, y'all. C1 Media.
C1.
Free lunch. Free food for your soul, y'all.
Yeah.
Peace.